T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It is Christmas in July. It is a Thirsty Thursday. And the next time you hear these sleigh bells, be caller 25 to 913-576-7610. $50 to Rye on the Plaza.
You don't plaza, you say plaza?
I think I go back and forth.
You could go both ways?
I mix it up.
Have you gone both ways before?
Nope. Not even in college.
Gross.
Ryan the Plaza. Plaza.
Plaza.
Plaza. Plaza.
Did you see the names of the swim meet yesterday? Cooper. Porter.
I did not.
I like a good Porter. Willem. You ever met a poor Willem?
No.
I don't think they let poor people give that kid name out.
I didn't know there was another Willem. That was Willem Dafoe, and that was it.
William, well, it's William Dafoe. It's Willem Dafoe? It's
Willem, yeah. Oh, yeah. Willem Dafoe.
News
yeah.
to me.
Yeah. There you go. Learned a little something today here on Fasco in the Morning.
William of Foe.
A senator has introduced a bill requiring equal pay for men and women ahead of the 2026 World Cup. Mm-hmm. West Virginia Democrat Joe Manchin.
Wait, his name's Manchin?
Yeah, Manchin.
Manchin.
M-A-N-C-H-I-N.
That's correct. Manchin.
Manchin. Not to be confused with Manchin.
Introduced a bill that would prevent any and all federal funding for the 2026 World Cup unless the U.S. Soccer Federation agrees to pay its men's and women's teams equally.
I love how in the moment America really is. You know what I'm saying?
I bet Bob Lady Knees hates this idea.
He's not a fan.
Megan Rapinoe's on board, though, of course.
It's Rapinoe.
Oh, yes, that's right.
And finally, but not last, winner of the Golden Boot, the tournament's top scorer, and the Golden Ball, the best player, Megan Rapinoe.
That was the U.S. soccer president.
Did not work well for you, sir.
Yes.
Way to go, soccer president of America, Carlos Cordero.
So, Manchin in a statement. I'm going to go Manchin.
Manchin.
Then you're going Manchin.
Well, it's M-A-N-C-H-I-N.
Correct.
Spelled Manchin.
Yeah. Joe Manchin.
The clear, unequitable pay between the U.S. men's and women's soccer teams is unacceptable, and I'm glad the U.S. women's soccer team's latest victory is causing public outcry, Manchin says in a statement. I'm encouraging everyone to call their senator and representatives to help get this bill passed and finally pay the equitable pay they deserve. Federal funds will be necessary for the tournament between the host cities asking for financial aid, including here.
Yeah, here in Kansas City. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, sure.
To provide infrastructure and security, and the State Department coordinating international travel for FIFA officials. That's part of the example cited by USA Today.
Well, I am all for the equal pay, but this isn't about FIFA giving the money or the U.S. Soccer Federation giving the money or the WNBA giving the money. This comes back on us. This is a us issue as citizens of the United States to make sure that these women get the money. And here's what I mean by that. Guys who play professional sports, whether you're in the NFL, whether you're in Major League Baseball, National Hockey League, the NBA, men's professional sports, salaries are dictated for all intents and purposes by the big TV contracts that come in, the millions and millions and millions and millions and what soon will be billions of dollars that TV networks are spending to acquire the rights to the certain sports. When you look at the NFL, essentially the money that every team gets from the national television deal is essentially what the salary cap is for every team in the NFL. It's dictated by how much revenue they're bringing in at a national level and then split out 32 ways, and the biggest portion of that coming from the television deals. And I understand people want to pay the women's soccer team the same as the men's soccer team because the women win and the men stink.
But I'd give them much bigger bonuses for sure.
Sure, but you got to find a way to...
The bonus structure, I think they've deserved that.
No question, But you have to find a way to get that money and to generate that money. And when we talked about it the other day, the Men's World Cup generates $6 billion. The Women's World Cup generated $141 million. Right.
Billion
and six
to
B's to 141 M's. It's a...
And what's the old saying? If it don't make dollars, it don't make sense?
Right.
And you told me that yesterday, but or the other day, and I said to you, I don't know if that necessarily tells the whole story. I don't disagree. Like, that's a chasm between 150 million and
billions. Just take it here in America, for instance. Let's look at the NBA versus the WNBA. WNBA players are getting paid $60,000 to $80,000 a year. The NBA players are getting paid millions. That's because millions and millions of dollars are invested into the men's side, from TV to merchandise sales to people going to the games. My wife worked for the Charlotte Bobcats. And part of her job as ticket sales for the Bobcats was to also sell tickets for the WNBA team that they had there. She said they couldn't move tickets. Nobody was interested in buying those tickets to that game. And so the reason I say it's on us, we have to take the momentum that's going on right now with women's sports and continue it forward. That's why with ESPN picking up the NWSL, that's a huge deal. That's going to help raise the salaries of the women's soccer players. But until America grasps on to women's sports and makes it part of their everyday palette of sports like we do with men's sports, the wage gap is still going to be there until we as a country and as citizens and as sports fans say, we want more women's soccer, we want more women's basketball on TV and have a demand for that. The TV networks aren't going to write that check. People aren't going to the games like they are to the men's side, and they're not buying the merchandise like they are for the men's side. I mean, those are just the facts out there right now.
The reason, though, that I do say that, I don't know if that tells the whole story, though, because I'm not going to deny the numbers.
So I'm asking, where's the money supposed to come from?
I am curious, though, because, like, internationally, yes, I think that by and large, men's soccer internationally is a bigger draw. Mm-hmm. But here in the United States, like, how much of that 150 some odd million do you think the U.S. women's national team generated versus how much do you think that the U.S. men's national team is really generating towards that billions of dollars?
I think that's a fair point. But I think when you talk about the United States, you look at the National Women's Soccer League, right? They're playing games at Shawnee Mission North. So that, I mean, right there tells you that
had to leave. Right?
Yeah.
There's no longer a team in Kansas City.
Right. We don't have a team here anymore. I'm talking about nationwide. They're not playing in stadiums like Sporting Park, okay? They're because the interest level from the American sports fan isn't there like it is for men's sports.
I do think fair to say, though, that the investment hasn't necessarily been made by people that, you know, with deep pockets, right? Like, I think that there hasn't been a real solid investment in promoting your sport and getting it out there and really putting these ladies in a position to succeed. Now,
I get a little buzz after each World Cup.
Right.
Right.
And it kind of dies down.
Yeah. So, look, I don't know if it would be financially successful for someone. But I think that by and large, you look at men's sports, I mean, there are bad teams that have a ton of money invested into them.
You're right. There are.
And
because,
so, like,
men's sports have the benefit of their TV packages where they can, I mean, right. if you own a professional sports team in America, you've made money just by opening the doors because of the TV money that's rolling in for all of these sports.
Megan
Rapinoe,
on MSNBC, she's been very outspoken about getting equal pay, but also acknowledges fans are a part of that.
Fans can come to games. Obviously, the national team games will be a hot ticket. But we have 9 teams in the NWSL. You can go to your league games. You can support that way. You can, buy players' jerseys. You can lend your support in that way. You can tell your friends about it. You can become season ticket holders. I think in terms of that, that's the easiest way for fans to get involved.
I think that's right.
She realized too. We got to grow the game.
Right. And I think they've done a great job of actually growing the game from a participation standpoint. Now we need to grow the game for getting people to go to the games. And I'll tell you right now, if we still had a team in Kansas City, I'd be taking my daughters out there. But we don't have that option right now to go watch women's soccer in Kansas City because we don't have a team here. So
I do walk away from hearing Megan Rapinoe say that, though, with a lot of people when they have the argument, they're like, well, don't these ladies understand they just didn't generate any money? Yeah, they understand that. How can fans buy the jerseys and show up?
Right. Yeah. We got each of them an Alex Morgan jersey for the U.S. national team. But, yeah, you watch it on television. If ESPN is televising an NWSL game, everybody tune in. Show them that the ratings are going to be high, and ESPN will continue to make more of it. Like, I give ESPN so much credit for stepping up for the NWSL and putting the product on TV.
I don't give them a ton of credit because I think they think they can make a buck out of it.
But they're playing off the buzz. But it's a good idea. They could have not done it, though.
But I like the fact that they're doing it. Yes.
Yeah, I like the fact that they are doing it. And you're saying, you know what, let's give it an opportunity. Let's put it on. Let's see what happens. And if it does generate even more of a buzz, Josh, maybe it becomes a similar television package to the MLS or something like that. And it continues to grow.
Stephen Casey, your winner, $50 to Rye on the Plaza.
Because I think they also have the stars right now more so than men's soccer does.
Another opportunity to win coming up on our next segment on a Christmas in July and a Thirsty Thursday. One sport may have had its best week last week in terms of buzz, but the commissioner might disagree. Next.
That is awesome.
Yeah. Let's go in the morning.
Christmas in July continues. It's a Thirsty Thursday. That means you're going to win each and every segment, each and every show. Chance to win $50 to Ryan the Plaza. Next time you hear the sleigh bells, caller 25 to 913-576-7610 is going to win.
This Winter with Juanita album is great.
Last week, fantastic week in the NBA. Free agency generated a ton of buzz. Trades and free agent signings were fantastic in terms of a off-season, like, newsworthy, like, better than the regular season kind of thing. Fantastic week, right?
It is better than the culminating regular season, right?
With Kawhi Leonard. Then at the end of the week, saying he's going to the Clippers. It was a great week.
Yes.
Great week.
Buzzworthy, talk about headlines, people following the league intently.
I think you couldn't have had a better week. Other than maybe you could make the argument having a holiday. You do it this week.
Yeah.
You get this week.
You get this week.
As opposed to having the holiday and maybe you get even more buzz. I don't know. But it was terrific.
Maybe they don't want more buzz.
It was terrific, except for the commissioner.
I got a lot of buzz over the holiday.
I did too.
Adam Silver, speaking at the league's Board of Governors meetings this week in Las Vegas, he didn't like all the tampering and recruiting that was going on.
I'd say number one, some of the rules we have in place may not make sense. I think that's what we discussed. I think it's pointless at the end of the day to have rules that we can't enforce. I think it hurts the perception of integrity around the league.
It is pointless to have rules you can't enforce, okay?
Yes.
So the tampering thing, you basically say, hey, you can't contact anybody until this date. And they all kind of roll their eyes.
Yeah, they're like, okay, whatever.
I feel like you do have the rule, you just don't enforce it.
Sure.
Unless it's super blatant. Like
scouts showing up at a game all season long and, bumping into you in the hallway type of thing.
Free agency starts at whatever it was, 6 o'clock on Sunday.
Yeah.
Sunday night. We all know you're talking ahead of time. Just make the deadline. Make the deadline and let it happen.
Sure.
And if you see anything egregious, step in. But otherwise, you know what's happening. Just. Mm-hmm.
But I think it's good because it generates interest for the sport.
It
causes people to pay attention, and it causes people to follow, and it causes people to consume your sport. I mean, right now is kind of the dead part of the year from a sports calendar standpoint, with the NFL being on their hiatus and Major League Baseball, having their hiatus right now with the All-Star game. So the NBA has an opportunity to really grasp and grab the attention and the headlines and be part of the sports scene in a huge, huge way. And so that's why I like it, because you're kind of on your own. Like, nobody's paying attention to the other stuff that's really going on in sports right now, from Wimbledon to, the Home Run Derby. You've got an opportunity to have the stage all by yourself. And I think the NBA has done a great job over these years of really taking advantage of that, whether it's been something that they wanted to do or something that just kind of happened organically. But everybody knows as soon as the NBA Finals are over, that week leading up to June 1st is a buzzworthy week, and you're going all over the place looking for rumors, trying to figure things out, discussing the NBA. And that's stuff that dollar figures can't buy, because if fans become interested now, maybe that carries over into the regular season. You buy tickets to games, you buy jerseys, you watch on TV. Like, it is a really, really good thing for the NBA to have this much buzz when nothing's going on.
So he says the consensus seems to be they need to revisit and reset some of the rules, that some of the rules they have in place may not make sense. And it's pointless at the end of the day, again, to have rules that we can't enforce when it comes to maybe tampering. He also didn't like guys requesting trades and wanting out of contracts.
Trade demands are disheartening. They're disheartening to the team. They're disheartening to the community and don't serve the player well. Players care about their reputations just as much. And so that's an issue that needs to be addressed. And there's not a simple solution there. This is a talent-driven business. Players have leverage. They have economic power of their own. But that's what collective bargaining agreements are for, to sit down and come up with a set of rules that are sensible and fair for everyone.
Now, I will say, I feel like basketball is the most transient sport we have in America.
Yeah.
And it's I'm not surprised guys want out of contracts.
No.
In basketball, they move so freely, going all the way back to high school. The most talented players in high school play a lot of AAU ball, right?
The Russ Rubies of the world.
Even some lesser talented ones play AAU ball. You know what happens in all those teams all the time? They jump from team to team to team.
Yeah.
They move from city to city to city.
I mean, there's a transfer portal now in the NCAA.
Some of the top high school will go play at several high schools. They will go to maybe a prep school. Mm-hmm. They jump around AAU teams.
That's a fair point. That's a great
guys
way to look at
get
it.
To college now in basketball. We have a massive transfer issue.
Yeah.
Mainly affecting college basketball more so than anything. The movement in college basketball, they're used to it. So by the time we get to the NBA, if you're one of these cream of the crop guys, that's the basketball culture. We can get up and move whenever we want.
I never really thought of it that way.
If you want to call it a problem, it's just more of a fact of life to me in basketball than any other sport, because it dates all the way back to when these kids are in high school.
That's a great way to look at it, man.
I'm not surprised the issue is there when you get to the NBA, because, hey, I did it all along. If I didn't like my situation on my AAU team, what'd I do?
Found another one somewhere else.
If I didn't like my high school, found another one. Didn't like my college, I can go find another one.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't that be a problem with the NBA?
Yeah, I got like a
contract.
Anymore,
I don't like this team. I'd like to find another one. Mm-hmm. Of course that's going
to
happen.
Yeah, no, that's a brilliant way to look at it, Josh. I didn't even consider that basketball being a transient sport dating back to, you know, the day you pick up the ball and everybody is switching teams all the time. You're right about that. But, you know, the commissioner, you know, says, you know, it's not good for the players at times. I think it's really good for the players. And besides LeBron James and to an extent Kevin Durant, how many cities and places have you heard really be upset with guys moving in the NBA? I think fans understand in the NBA that this thing can be blown up and spun on its head, you know, almost immediately. And I think fans understand that's the nature of the game in the NBA. And instead of criticizing, you know, the players for doing this kind of stuff, I wish Adam Silver would embrace it, and I really wish baseball would embrace something like this, because if baseball generated something like this and allowed tampering, maybe Major League Baseball would be in a better spot than it is right now, because free agency right now in Major League Baseball really doesn't exist anymore. It's not the buzz of the offseason that we used to have, and I think that's part of the reason why baseball doesn't have any interest anymore, is because, you know, there really is no offseason buzz of guys switching teams. Could you imagine at the end of the July 31st trade deadline, beginning on August 1st, if Major League Baseball allowed legal tampering and allowed players to start recruiting potential free agents to come to their team? The players could put pressure on the owners. The players could get the fans behind them, which in turn puts pressure on the owners. And right now, we're dealing with a situation in baseball where we're looking at a work stoppage. There was an article in USA Today yesterday about that, about a potential work stoppage. And one of the big complaints was, by players that most teams aren't trying to win and are already out of, you know, the contention for the postseason, and a lot of teams are tanking in baseball. Could you imagine if guys on teams started to openly recruit would-be free agents, how much pressure that would put on owners to turn their act around and try to figure out a way to win and to spend money and to bring better talent here? I think it would be great for the sport. I would love for August 1st to roll around and Salvi to start recruiting guys on Twitter and asking guys to come here to Kansas City and play, that would put pressure on the Royals as a front office to say, all right, let's go sign some of these guys. And it would generate a ton of interest for baseball. But by the time August rolls around, three quarters of the teams are already eliminated, and it's like New York and Boston are watching.
Joe and KC, the latest to win on a Thirsty Thursday. He gets $50 to ride in the Plaza. Another opportunity to win coming up in our next segment, part of Christmas in July. Pat got spooked on the red carpet. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
Christmas in July continues. It's a Thirsty Thursday. The next time you hear the sleigh bells, 913-576-7610. Caller number 25 is going to win $50 to Rye on the Plaza. Last night, the ESPYs taking place in Los Angeles. Pretty good show, I thought.
Yeah, very nicely done. Well done. I love it.
Really big shoe.
I was a little worried about Tracy Morgan. I like Tracy Morgan, but I wasn't sure this was going
to
quite be the...
The stay in your lane mode.
The audience or speed or whatever for it, and it kind of wasn't.
Yeah, they totally did not get his humor.
But I thought the audience...
They're all sitting there going, huh?
I thought the audience was really bad. I was like...
Audience sucked.
Kind of doing one of those, is this thing on?
Yeah, the audience was terrible.
Moments at times, because he delivers something, and they cut to the audience, and they're kind of like staring like, are they on delay?
Well, they're all athletes that are wired to have no reaction to anything. God forbid they do something like laugh, and they may feel like they're going to get fined by their team.
That could be the case.
I think that's part of the problem. I think part of the problem is they're athletes, and they're so conditioned to not show any emotion or any human interaction or have any kind of human side, because that's the way every team and every sport has conditioned these guys to not be human beings. And so when you have a moment like that, they're so used to just standing there and going, that they don't have the opportunity to react and to laugh, because they feel like if they do, they're going to get called to the principal's office and get fined for having a human reaction to
that
something.
That is awesome.
Didn't do as many bits as I thought they would, too.
Yeah.
Like with athletes.
Right.
I like some of the stuff they've done previous years has been really good.
Sure.
I know this like cropped up again recently. We watched it, Peyton Manning inviting people over for a Super Bowl party,
yeah,
and having to watch the Patriots win and getting all mad. They didn't do a lot of those things.
You also
either.
Have to have the there right few, subjects too.
There was a few Tracy Morgan bits,
yep,
that had a little bit of sprinkling in, but not a lot.
No, not
so
a lot.
I don't know.
At
it didn't
all.
Seem like they spent as much time on that portion of it as they could. And then Tracy's out there cracking jokes about
getting into a car wreck.
Getting into the infamous car wreck with the semi that...
The Walmart truck.
And is as if nobody knew that story had even happened.
No, they had no clue.
Did they come making that up?
They had no clue.
Yeah, so it was that portion of it was kind of awkward. But did great with the real awards portion of things. The Pat Tillman Award, Jimmy V Award, the Arthur Ashe Award. All those recipients and all those stories really, really well done.
Absolutely well done, yeah.
And then, for some reason, Mahomes kind of got scratched, I thought anyway, as he was up for the best NFL player. And I feel like at some point in time they decided, this isn't going to fit in the show. We got Mahomes on the red carpet.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just go ahead and get this knocked out.
Give him the award now.
Because it was somebody just like ran up and handed it to him. It was really weird.
Oh, thank you.
Look at that.
That is awesome.
Yeah. I was going to say, I have the envelope here, but we couldn't wait because that's some real hardware.
Oh, well, I didn't even.
Best NFL player.
I didn't even know. That's amazing. Thank you. I appreciate that.
See, we're fun. Come hang out with us. You get trophies.
You got to stay with y'all. Y'all staying in the shade. Y'all got the air conditioning
coming in.
In and out trophies. I need to be here more often.
So I felt like at some point someone was in their ear like,
Whataburger trophies.
We're going to have to cut this from the main show, so just hand him the award now.
You're right. I didn't even think about that, but that's probably what they did, because the producer came running on set like in a headgear and all this kind of stuff.
Got the scripts and the wires and the headset, and here's the
trophy.
Award. It was really weird, and then Mahomes did give us the fantastic laugh, though, with it.
So. Oh, thank you.
Look at that.
That is awesome.
So Mahomes, I thought, got shortchanged from the main show. He got his award on the red carpet.
Right.
Did his thing there. Was asked about his favorite moment of last season.
Yeah, I think the win we got in the playoffs was definitely my favorite moment. Just being in Arrowhead, winning a home playoff game there. They hadn't won one in a long time.
And so for us to get that win there and kind of get this momentum going, I know we didn't end up winning, getting to the Super Bowl like we wanted to, but we got that momentum to hopefully carry into this next season.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
His favorite moment was
getting that home playoff game
for you.
Yep, for the fans. Absolutely. Should be.
What was the biggest takeaway from last season?
You can't let the little things slip by. I think that's the biggest thing is we made a lot of big plays, but when it came down to the final game, we didn't make enough little plays in order to have success and to win the football game. And so you can have all the big plays and the highlights, but you have to really, really master the little things if you want to get to the Super Bowl and win it.
That's straight from Andy.
Of course it is.
Straight from Andy, right?
Yes, yes.
Here's what you're going to work on next season.
Right.
Remember when Andy was asked what, you know, well, we got some cut-ups. And he's got some little things he needs to work. That's straight from Andy.
Right.
Which I love to hear, too. I love when players parrot their coach. If their coach is smart, right? If their coach is good.
Sure.
Which we believe Andy Reid is, correct? When he parrots Andy Reid, I'm great with that. Like, you're taking in what Andy's telling you, which is focus on the little things.
Yeah, you do. And I think that, but if you're Patrick Mahomes right now, and the season ends the way that it did, you made the AFC Championship game, you're the MVP, first year in the league. You legitimately sit down at the end of the year, you're like, all right, what do I really need to work on here? You know, like, that's pretty good. You know, that kind of came easy to me. What do I really need to work on? Well, if you work on your foot, like, it's almost like when you say you got to work on those little things, it's like they're finding things for Patrick Mahomes to work on because everybody's looking around
going, great problem.
Yeah. Well, hell, I mean, this guy's perfect. Like, so you got to create something for him to work on. So you say, you know, you got to work on those little things. Like, you know, we missed that 2nd and 3 and you took a sack there. Don't take a sack there. Throw that ball away or, you know, take one less step this direction or, you know, like just making things up for him to work on to try to refine what is almost a perfect product already that we've seen in the first year. I mean, like nobody's, you know, come on the scene like Patrick Mahomes has in the NFL in the history of the league like that before and done what he did in his first year as a quarterback in the National Football League. And so when you have that kind of, you know, arrival on the scene in your first year, what do you do in that offseason? How do you get better from 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards? Well, if we work on some of the little things and we make the little plays, that may equal to some of the bigger plays, and maybe some of those little plays equal a couple of more wins, and maybe we're not relying on D4 to stay on sides at that point in time. Because
if he just said that, it'd have been awesome.
Yeah, but I mean, but I think one of those little things is taking those sacks against New England in the first half of the game that knocked him out of field goal range. Remember that sack that he took in the first half mm-hmm. against the Patriots mm-hmm. that knocked him out of the field goal range? That's a little thing that you have to work on. So I think it's all nitpicky stuff, and he's 23 years old, and he's going to learn all this stuff, and it's going to eventually come. But those are the things. Like, don't try to make a big play every time. If it's not there, throw it away. Chuck it out of bounds. You don't have to try to make a big play, because sometimes when you try to make a big play, you'll make a mistake, and then it'll knock you out of field goal range. They get that field goal in the first half. They win the football game, and we're not talking about D Ford.
One of the things we have to continue to do is we need more Mahomes laughter, though, mm-hmm. right? I guess we need to startle him. Give him something he hasn't seen before.
Oh, thank you.
Look at that.
That is awesome.
You think that happens if somebody like blitzes him?
No.
Because he's not caught off guard like that?
I don't think there's any laughing going on with the linebackers.
He's got a fantastic laugh.
That is awesome.
Has he joined our, like, Laugh Rushmore, Ryan?
Do we have Salvi laughing?
I don't think I do.
I need more Mahomes laughter, though. He's just really, really
oh,
good.
Oh, thank you.
Look at that.
That is awesome.
Yeah. It's almost like Woody Woodpecker. I like it.
Yeah. Did he have that laugh when he saw Odell Beckham last night, too?
What was that?
I don't know. That was terrible.
I don't know. It just says B laugh.
Is Prada trying
to sell that now?
I want to know, but I don't want to know. You know what I mean? He was wearing some type of...
Look like a hiking jacket, like where you put like victuals like or something as you're going up in the woods.
He had a giant pouch on there.
He just wanted to make sure he could have all the snacks in
there. That's what I was thinking, like jerky.
Nutri-Grain bar, some beef jerky.
Popcorn.
I would take that to water. I'd take that to the movies with me.
I think I would. But if it's Beckham to me right now, I go, I don't think I want to know. I'm curious, but I'm not curious. I don't want to feed into him.
What's 6-10?
You know what I mean?
That outfit screams 6-10.
You're maintaining this.
Yes.
That's just another instance of the Browns are not going to get where they think they're going to get.
Right.
But the Odell Beckham front pouch outfit, I don't know if that's going to catch
on. Is that instead of carrying a man purse, now you just kind of wear it around like that?
I don't know.
That is awesome.
And I want to know, but I don't want to know.
I don't want to be caught with a man purse, so I'm just going to wear this hiking outfit.
Jerry and OP.
Fishing in the stream. That's like one of those fishing vests.
Jerry and OP, the latest winner.
With the fishing
on a Thirsty Thursday.
Going fly fishing.
Right, he's going fly fishing. Yeah.
That's the
Could be. Hold a lot of bait in that thing. Jerry wins Ryan the Plaza, $50.
That wasn't in Selma, was it?
Your next chance to win coming out in our next segment. It's Thirsty Thursday here on Christmas in July here on 610 Sports Radio. A Chiefs Hall of Famer may feel like you do. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.